spiritual discouragement. It happens to everyone. We'll give you some keys to overcoming it and look at some major world news today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yesterday, during a break in the broadcast, I just posted this little note. I tweeted it out. If you're a believer going through discouragement, remember this. The discouragement is temporary and will pass. God's promises are eternal. And for a tweet relative to responses we get on others, a lot of people retweeted it even more, favorited it, which reminded me again that spiritual discouragement, discouragement in general, is something that everybody goes through. And there can be seasons that are more difficult than other seasons. I want to address that today. I want to talk about some of the causes of it and constructive ways that you can overcome that discouragement. This is Michael Brown, your voice of encouragement. Yeah, let's see. We need another slogan. I'm your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity. How about one, your voice of hope, encouragement, and faith? Well, either way, we're going to build you up with truth from God's Word, and we're going to look at some things happening around the world. Never a dull moment. 866-34-TRUTH, the number to call. Speaking of world events, Nancy and I, late last night, were talking about what's happening in Syria, trying to compare notes on our understanding of Russia's involvement and things like that, and I was filling Nancy in with some of the things I've learned and understood over these months. And we were just talking about the devastating levels of suffering experienced by people in some parts of the world right now, talking to friends who worked previously in Yemen and can't be there right now because of the horrific civil war, suffering, bombings, just unreal what's taking place. Other hot spots in the world where there's massive social upheaval, where people are fleeing for their lives, where they're just camping out. If they had a tent to camp out in and be away from the gunfire, that would be a luxury. So I want to remind you to be praying, especially for the persecuted church. Let's not be isolated. If things are going relatively well for us here in America or other countries where you're listening and we're not in the midst of suffering like that, if our lives are in a fairly decent place and might be under some pressure or have some sickness to deal with, but basically we're doing all right. And if we're doing well, thriving all the more, let's not forget those in real need, in particular, our brothers and sisters. And you say, I don't know what to do. It's overwhelming. Well, you pray prayers to a big God. Oh, God, have mercy on your people around the world. Oh, God, bring comfort, bring aid, bring strength, bring deliverance, bring provision, make a way of escape. Just pray what you know how to pray. Every prayer makes a difference. God is listening. He's near to the brokenhearted. He hears the cries of those in great need, and our prayers joined together make a difference. In fact, I'll tell you a striking story I heard on the other side of the break, and then get right into the subject of spiritual discouragement. But I want to put out one request. If you're listening to me in Canada, we have many faithful, regular listeners, not just by podcast, but listening live via internet in Canada. Or if you have been carefully following the Canadian elections, give me a call with your take on what has happened with the election of a new, very liberal prime minister, a young prime minister, another Trudeau. Give me your take, 866-348-7884, if you are a Canadian resident listening or if you've been following the elections in Canada. Give me your take, because this is quite a liberal jump in many, many ways. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
This is what positive politics can do. This is what a positive, hopeful vision and a platform and a team together can make happen. Canadians have spoken. You want a government with a vision and an agenda for this country that is positive and ambitious and hopeful. Well, my friends, I promise you tonight that I will lead that government.
Yeah, that was the new Prime Minister, Prime Minister-elect Justin Trudeau. And obviously pushing a, quote, positive vision. So he is markedly liberal. I do not follow Canadian politics closely. Forgive my ignorance of a lot of things that go on, but I have Canadian friends who shared their concerns about where things could be going with Prime Minister Trudeau if he was, in fact, elected, as is the case. And a few things, just so you know his stands. Let's see. This is Claire Phipps, The Guardian. Trudeau on climate change. He's promised a climate change policy, agreed with the provinces within 90 days of the UN Climate Change Summit Paris in November. On abortion, pro-choice, quote, it is not for any government to legislate what a woman chooses to do with her body, and that is the bottom line. On marijuana, Trudeau said that he would start moves to legalize it right away based on the Colorado model. Yikes. Yikes. God help Canada. On feminism, quote, I am a feminist. I'm proud to be a feminist. Let's see. He says that gay, quote, marriage and abortion are core principles in a new memoir that he has issued. His book, Common Ground, hit bookstores today. We made the Liberal Party a truly liberal party when delegates decisively endorsed a motion defending a woman's right to choose whether to have an abortion. Regarding religion and Catholicism, Trudeau writes that while he believes in the existence of God and in the values and principles universal to all major religions, it was the dogmas of Catholicism I struggled with, particularly the idea that someone who is not a sincere and practicing Catholic could not gain entrance to heaven. We've seen what's happened in America with a radically liberal president. We've seen some of the disastrous policies and direction our nation has gone in. If you're in Canada and you've got a perspective on this that you think is worth sharing, or you've been following these political changes in Canada, give us a call, 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. I mentioned I was going to share a story with you. Now, I can't verify this, but I heard it from a reliable source many years ago, and I have no good reason to doubt it because of the power and reality of God. But I heard the story from a man whose father-in-law had served as a missionary in South Africa years earlier, and it was from South Africa, that there was a missionary there, an American missionary there, who got badly burned in his arms, his hands, and he was in a hospital, but in a rural area where, you know, the only hospital had very, very little facilities and almost no staffing in it. I've seen some of these places overseas, and you'd be amazed what the healthcare is. I mean, it's tragic. It's terrible. So he's laying there in the middle of the night, and suddenly he realizes that he hears this noise in the room, and these army ants come swarming into his room. Again, I can't verify this firsthand. I'm simply sharing a story I heard. These army ants come swarming into the room, and they can just wreak havoc in certain parts of the world. They come through, you just have to get out of the way, and when they're gone, it just, the whole area has been devastated. And suddenly they start climbing up his cot. And next thing start, and he's screaming for help, but there's nobody around. The place is absolutely desolate. He's screaming for help. Will somebody help me? Will somebody please help me? And next thing, these things start coming under his bandages, where he's bandaged up on his arms and his hands, and he's screaming, will somebody please help me? Well, somebody in America is awakened, and whatever the time differential is, where he was, where this was, they're awakened, whether it's early morning, late at night. They hear this screaming, "Will somebody please help me?" They actually hear this, "Will somebody please help me?" They hear this voice screaming. They don't know who it is, but they just get out of bed and start crying out to God for deliverance. Whoever this is, God help, God help. And next thing, the army ants, as quick as they come, they've left. And in the morning when the man's bandages are removed, he's completely healed. Now, I can't verify that, but I heard it from a reliable source whose father had served in that same area. And the man in America found out about it because he recorded what happened, only to find out years later it was this missionary that he'd been praying for, and this is what happened, a missionary that he had known. In any case, your prayers make a difference. And the problem is when we're discouraged, when we're not walking in faith, when we are struggling with our confidence in God, we're not going to pray as much. We're not going to cry out to God as much. We get deflated. We lose hope. And because of that, we become ineffective. Many years ago, I heard a pastor preach a message. Instead of "without faith, it's improbable," his message, excuse me, "without faith, it's impossible," his message was, "without hope, it's improbable." Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6. Without hope, it's improbable. And I shared this with our missionaries that are in from end of last week, beginning of this week, in town from different parts of the world, sharing vision, sharing what they're doing around the world as we help raise support for them. And I just shared something that I've gone through several times over the years, and that often happens. And as I shared it, a number of people came up to me and said, "Wow, that was so relevant for me. That really spoke to me." So let me share it with you. And then I am going to go to the phones to get some of your feedback about the new Canadian Prime Minister. But here's what I shared. This has happened to me several times over the years in a major way. You believe God's given you a promise. You believe he's spoken something to you. And you have a sense, maybe you're in your early 20s, and you have a sense that by the time you're out of your 20s, you're going to be in the midst of this ministry doing a particular work and being used by the Lord. And it starts to happen, but then it kind of fades, and now it's on the back burner, and now it's not happening at all. And now you're turning 30, and you're like, "Man, I missed that window. I missed that opportunity. What happened? Did God really show me that was going to happen? Did I really hear his voice? Or maybe I wasn't praying enough, or it was his will, but I wasn't praying enough. Or, oh, I remember that time I fell short, I sinned, and I messed up, and maybe that's it. I disqualified myself. Or is that what happened? Was my timing off? But it's too late now. That should have happened when I was in my 20s. Now that I'm turning 30, it's too late." And then when you're 32, you find yourself doing all the things you believed you were supposed to do, realize it's just on time. And not only so, it's far more effective and powerful than you had previously dreamed possible. And you think, "All right, next time, if I go through this again, I'm going to remember what happened. I'm going to remember how I doubted. I'm going to remember the questions I had. And I'm going to remember how that discouragement set in and how I believed those lies. It's too late. You're disqualified. You didn't pray enough. Whatever it was, you didn't really hear God. You exaggerated what you heard. Next time, I'm going to remember so this won't happen again." But the problem is, when the next time comes, you know, now you're 50 and you were, what if you had this vision that you're going to play in the NFL? You know you're going to play in the NFL, and now you're 35. It's like nobody is going to draft a player or bring in a player that's 37 years old. That's just not going to happen. If I had my window, I missed it. Or they're only hiring young people for this position. Or I can't travel the way I used to, so I can't be used in this way. When it happens the next time, you go through that same process. And it's like, "Yeah, but remember what you learned last time." "Yeah, but last time was different. Last time was different because I was younger. Last time was different because..." And it's always that same thing. You get hit with it at every stage of life. "Look, I'm 60. I can get hit with it at 60 because of things God's promised me that I haven't seen happen." "Well, yeah, you're 60. If that was going to happen, it would have to happen when you're 50 or when you're 40. It's like, "Yeah, but each time in the past that I felt that, each time in the past that that I was sure it's too late, it can't happen, I didn't really hear God, I didn't pray enough, I was disqualified. God came through and did that very thing. So be encouraged. We all go through this, and God is faithful to keep his promises. Make yourself available. Do what you know how to do today. Before you know it, you'll see breakthroughs on a substantial level because of the faithfulness of God. All right, 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. And I'm going to go to the phones. We'll start in Alberta, Canada. All right? Want to get a little perspective on what's happening in Canada. Got a lot more to share with you today on The Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Some feedback from Canada. We'll go to our friend Steve in Alberta. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Dr. Brown, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Right on. I missed the first couple of minutes of your broadcast, but I heard you were looking for Canadians to call in, and so I apologize if I repeat something you already said, but I was wondering if you knew, or if your listeners knew, that Justin Trudeau's policy is that you cannot be a member of the Liberal Party if you're not a pro-abortion candidate.
Yeah, well, I knew he was very strong and aggressive on that, and that he's made it clear that that's an official policy of
right.
Of that party. I didn't know that it went that far, but that would make sense.
And previously, there were a lot of Liberal candidates that were, you know, pro-life and maybe not super public in their stance, but within the last year, basically they said you're not welcome in the Liberal Party if you're not pro-abortion. Or pro-women's rights. The other point I wanted to make is, like, I'm involved in the leadership of our church, and, like, even under a conservative government, we were already talking about the reality of, like, losing our charitable status, somewhat similar to what you have in the States, but, like I say, even under a conservative government, it was difficult, and we're talking as a church, like, you know, it's only a matter of time. It's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when.
Yeah, so Steve, in your view, what is behind this very liberal shift? Not that Canada was a staunch conservative nation and suddenly going liberal. Obviously, it's had these liberal policies for years. But there's obviously quite a difference between Prime Minister Harper and incoming Prime Minister Trudeau. What's your opinion as to what's behind this shift?
I think it's just been, honestly, I think it's just a very good marketing. Another thing you might not be aware of is, like, we have the CBC, which gets about $1 billion a year, and that's a public broadcasting, so they have radio, television, and they're on the web heavily, and so that'd be, like, similar to your, say, CNN. That's how big it is in Canada. And that's government-funded and, like, super liberal in its positions. And so, you know, it's basically like they're the audiovisual department for the Liberal Party or whoever they choose to get elected.
Got it. And I know you have, let's see, what is it? It's kind of the equivalent to Fox News in Canada. I was on the show one time.
Sun News Media.
Yeah, yeah,
probably
exactly.
What you're thinking of. They actually shut down. They tried to get their. So our cable packages here are kind of fixed by through a government department, and so you kind of get mandated into the cable packages, and they were unable to get that done in the last couple of years, and so like people would have to pay extra just to have their channel. They couldn't get, like, packaged in. And their, you know, their perspective was, hey, we're the only conservative media giving some balance to the equation, and kind of fought, I think it's the CRTC, to get included in that, and then they weren't, and then within a year they were gone. So some of those guys broke off and they started a new news organization, just kind of independent, sort of out of their house, and they're growing quickly. If you're interested, it's therebel.media, I believe.
Got it.
And a couple of those guys broke off from Sun News and started their own thing. So it'll be interesting. I saw some of their videos that they put out since the election, and that's really, as far as I'm aware, that's all there really is.
Yeah, that's remarkable. I know many years ago when Focus on the Family did broadcasts that would air in Canada, if they touched on anything having to do with homosexuality, they had to edit the broadcasts to be suitable for Canada. This was years back. They were running into that. So it's remarkable to recognize the power of the media. Obviously, Trudeau, good-looking young man, the candidate, that's the positive young candidate, this whole bit. But the radical liberalism, even the idea of, quote, following the Colorado model and wanting to push for the legalization of pot throughout the country, I mean, that's just been disastrous in Colorado in many ways. You don't hear the reports all the time, but younger and younger people getting involved, and even deaths relating to it, and driving-related issues and so on, and the pot so much more powerful than it was years ago, and problem after problem. That is, so you were going to follow that on a push for it on a national level. Really, the only hope is things hitting bottom and people waking up and revival, people turning to God. But it's certainly a very challenging time. And what was the overall vote, by the way? What percentage?
It was too depressing to keep watching.
Got it.
We actually had Bible study last night, and we ended up sitting around the TV just talking about it and watching the results. But basically, the Liberals did get a majority. I believe they got something around 179 seats, and the Conservatives would be the official opposition at maybe 105. Don't quote me on that. But with a majority government in Canada, I've heard, and you can look this up, in the Western nations, the Canadian Prime Minister is stronger in terms of his position in office than any other Western nation. So he has the ability to make more changes than anyone else would. It's not like the States, where you have three levels of government sort of competing.
Right, more of a battle. Yep, I understand. Well, we've got to pray for Canada. And Steve, as we were talking about discouragement, the key thing is Jesus is still Lord. God still sits on his throne. There have been far worse days for the church and far
Absolutely.
Worse leaders in nations. So we've got to pray for God to get hold of Justin Trudeau, work a miracle in his life, and then for Canadian believers to put their hope in God and stand up and do what's right, and for God to raise up other voices in the media. Steve, thanks for weighing in. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. This is an important lesson for everyone. If you focus on circumstances, you'll be up and down. If you focus on God, you'll be steady. If you focus on circumstances, you'll be up and down. If you focus on God, you will be steady. All right, friends, we have done something very radical with our special resource offer this week. I'm talking about a savings of 60 or 70% on our entire School of Cultural Engagement lectures, practical teaching from experts in each field that will bless you and stir you and inform you, together with a free book. It's kind of bending over backwards to say we want to get this out to you. To find out more, go to my website, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org. Check the video right on the homepage. That'll tell you more. No hype here. Life-changing materials at a phenomenal discount, so we can equip you better to be on the front lines as an informed world changer.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the line of fire, 866-34-TRUTH. This is Michael Brown, your voice of encouragement, hope, faith, and life in the midst of discouragement, difficulty, challenges. Hey, those are always going to be here. I have good news for you. You said that's good news? Yeah. There's always going to be trouble. There are always going to be difficulties. There are always going to be low points along with high points. In this world, just the nature of this world, it's not just going to be trouble-free. If you live long enough, you'll run into obstacles. If you live long enough, you'll hit walls. If you live long enough, you'll face discouragement. If you live long enough, people will disappoint you. You'll disappoint yourself. You'll disappoint others. If you live long enough, circumstances will take place that challenge your faith to the core. But God remains faithful still. Listen, when I was a kid, in the old days of the Coney Island amusement park in Coney Island, Brooklyn, I would go with my dad, family sometimes, go on the rides there, and just the different things that they had in the old days. And there was this one little exhibit. It wasn't a ride. It wasn't an activity where you'd have to, shoot at something or throw a ball, knock something over. It was just a ladder going up into a tree, and there was a cage, and people would be on a short line. It wasn't like way, way, way long, but they'd be on a line waiting to go up the ladder. And on the cage, it said the amazing red bats, something like that. It certainly said red bats, amazing red bats, something like that. So you're waiting on the line, because you got to wait till the person comes down the ladder before you can go up. And everyone's coming down the ladder like, unbelievable. Wow. Wow. Amazing. And you go up the ladder. And when you get up the ladder, it's these two baseball bats painted red. You think it's these creatures, these red bats. So you realize it's just a spoof. It's just a joke. So you come down the ladder. I was just a kid, but I picked up what was happening. It's like, wow. Unbelievable. Amazing. So all that to say that... that only lasts so long. The story gets out. You'll never go back and do it again unless you got friends you're going to show, right? But then they know. That's not how it is with God in the Bible, that we're all just going along with the gag. We're all just going along with the joke, that we know it doesn't work, that we know the word isn't true, that we know you pray and nothing happens. We know God never intervenes. We know he never keeps his promises. We're pretty sure he's not even there, but we just go along with the spoof. First, no one in his or her right mind is going to go along with such a thing and perpetuate that for any period of time. And if that was the case, it would soon fizzle and fade. The reason that we're reading letters that Paul wrote in jail 2,000 years ago, the reason that we're quoting and revering words that Jesus, a Jewish carpenter from Nazareth, spoke 2,000 years ago, the reason that we're cherishing words that Moses spoke over 3,000 years ago is because these are inspired words from God, because they have proven the test of time, because the morality put forth in Scripture has proven the test of time, because the promises of God put forth in Scripture have proven the test of time, because the wisdom of God has proven the test of time, because the faithfulness of God endures from generation to generation. Therefore, we have every reason to trust him. The discouragement will pass. God's promises will endure. Circumstances will change. God never changes. When you trust in him, you have put your trust in the ultimate faithful rock of ages. Fear not, he is faithful.
It's the line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Can I just present something to you for a moment about the importance of what we have here in America? Yes, the major news networks or the major networks are quite heavily liberal in their philosophies. Years back, it was major surveys indicated that, for example, the anchors of news broadcasts around the country, so local news, national news, were overwhelmingly to the left on key social moral issues. Let's say the American population was pretty well in the middle and leaning slightly conservative. They were overwhelmingly to the left. I mean, it was something like 95% of them were pro-abortion and whatever other social issues they were surveyed on. Now, they are theoretically just giving the news, but you know that they're going to give it in a certain way or put a certain slant on things or have a certain influence or have a voice in a certain way. That influences people. So on the cable news, you have CNN, you have MSNBC, opposite. So CNN, liberal, MSNBC, very liberal, Fox, conservative, although not always across the board consistently in certain ways. But you do have these other voices. And then you have the Glenn Becks and those types of things and the media that they put out. You've got a lot of online voices that are conservative. You've got a lot of online websites that are conservative. And you have conservative talk radio. And then, of course, you have Christian radio around the country 24/7 in city after city and Christian TV. But that tends to be less social, moral, political, and more just dealing with gospel issues and sometimes just getting off into crazy stuff that's unbiblical. That being said, appreciate what you have here in America. The fact that I can be on the air right now talking about these issues absolutely freely without restriction is very positive. And listen, we want to take advantage of it while we have these liberties. Are you saying, Mike Brown, are you saying that we might lose these liberties? Of course. If we continue to degenerate morally, if we continue to look at religious freedoms as something that is disposable and not a foundational key for our nation, if we continue to go the way of exalting gay activism over against religious freedoms and freedom of speech, conscience, etc., if we continue to go in that direction, of course we'll lose our liberties. Of course it will cripple America in many ways for what it's called to be. I was talking a year and a half ago to a major media leader, a Christian leader, major businessman, right in the thick of major media, and not one of these hype guys, very sober-minded and always planning ahead and always looking for opportunities to grow and make an impact. And he said to me, keep doing what you're doing as long as you can, meaning that the day may come when you're not able to do these things. Now, Jesus addresses this in a little different way when he tells us in John 9 and John 11, and repeat it another way in John 12, that we've got to do the works of God while it's yet day. Night comes when no man can work. Is he talking about death? Is he talking about a national tragedy and calamity or the end of the world? Either way, we've got to seize the opportunities we have and run with them now. We've got to speak while we have the opportunity to speak. We've got to share the gospel. We have the opportunity. I would rather run hard while I had the opportunity and find out 30 years from now that our liberties were never taken away, that they were threatened, that there was a real attack on our religious freedoms, but that religious freedoms ended up prevailing and the tide turned in America. I would rather that any concerns or any warnings were wrong, were false, because I'm still going to run hard. You know what I'm saying? If I knew I had 30 years to broadcast without any hindrance, any difficulty, write freely, preach freely, teach freely, if I had 30 years, I'm not going to slow down. I'm not going to put it in neutral. Or just, we got 30 years. No, because every day is urgent. Every day people are dying without God. Every day people need a touch of God's truth. Every day there are critical situations. Every day is the only 24-hour period we'll have in that day to make a difference for the Lord. So I'm going to run hard either way. And if I knew I had one day, well, I'd then give practical information as to what to do once we lose our liberties and how to function in a completely underground way. But otherwise, If I got a month, I'm running hard for a month. If I got a year, I'm running hard for a year. Either way, we want to stand and do what's right and speak out. But friends, people are easily influenced. People are easily influenced by media. Look, I can see something on TV. I can see a particular report on a particular person and immediately have negative feelings toward that person, maybe a political candidate, maybe a leader. And I'm thinking, I don't even know if this report's accurate. I don't know how things have been twisted. I don't know how things have been misrepresented or what emotional strings were pulled without me even realizing it. We've got to be so cautious, and yet there's a whole generation that's so influenced by social media, by just what's being posted, by what's tweetable, that we lose sight of how to think, how to process eternal realities. And let me say this again. If you focus on circumstances, you're going to be up and down emotionally. If you focus on God, you're going to be steady. You're going to be strong. You are going to endure. That's one of the things that brings discouragement, friends. It's when you focus on things around you that circumstances dictate whether you're having a good day or a bad day. Circumstances dictate whether you're believing God or not, whether you're full of faith or not. Faith is not based on what you can see or feel. Faith is based on God's truth. And God's truth is not fickle, and God's truth is not changeable from day to day. And God's truth is unaffected by polling data. Listen, we cover a lot of news items on the air here. If something major is happening in society, we'll talk about it. If something catches our interest, we'll talk about it. And we do our best to be sons of Issachar, according to 1 Chronicles 12:32, meaning that we do our best to understand what time it is and understand what we as God's people should do. But we are ultimately a word-based, faith-based program, not conservative talk radio, not political talk radio, but faith-based, Bible-based, Jesus-centered. And that means that above all, we want you to be strong in God. Above all, even though we're not here primarily preaching and teaching, above all, we want you to be built up and strong in God. One of the ways that we can easily get down is when we feel we're all alone. I'm the only one going through this. I'm the only one who struggles with this sin. I'm the only one who's had this experience. I'm the only one feeling left out. When Elijah had to flee for his life, and as far as he knew, he was the only one left. As far as he knew, King Ahab, godless king under the influence of an even more godless queen, Jezebel, as far as he knew, all the prophets had been killed, and he alone was left. That's what he tells the Lord in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, when he encounters God. He gets discouraged. He has this mighty confrontation in 1 Kings 18, one of the outstanding signs and wonders and miracles in biblical history. All right? Something absolutely extraordinary and unprecedented. As fire comes down from heaven in answer to Elijah's prayer and consumes the burnt offerings, and then 850 false prophets of Baal and Asherah are put to death, led by Elijah. And then the rain comes. I mean, it's one of the most outstanding series of miracles in biblical history. And shortly after that, Elijah's fleeing for his life. When he hears that Jezebel wants to kill him, he's fleeing for his life. He's discouraged. It's too much. Let me just die. And you have to understand that often after great victories come great attacks. I didn't understand that initially until I started preaching and traveling, and we'd have one of the most awesome nights of God moving in a meeting and people dramatically and deeply touched in this rich presence of God. And I go back to my hotel room just spiritually high as a kite, saturated with joy and a sense of victory in God's presence and favor. And before I go to sleep, I'd be under the most crazy satanic attack, demonic oppression, junk hitting me. It's like, what in the world happened? And then I heard someone comment on that with the great victories come great attacks, come great difficulties, come great challenges. And you realize, okay, that's going to happen. That's what happened with Elijah. But then he thought, I'm the only one left. And God says to him, no, I've got 7,000. I've got 7,000 who are faithful. You're never the only one. Even if you're the only one in your family, you're never ultimately isolated and alone. Even if you're the only one that you know of in your school that believes what you believe, there is a company of like-minded people that are also alone in their families and their schools, and they are all standing together as one in the Lord. And you, listen, whatever you're going through now, you're not the only one going through it. You're not the only one going through it. And sometimes when you start talking about your experience, others say, oh, I'm going through the same thing. Suddenly you get encouraged. So listen, friends, I'm here to encourage you. You are not alone. And if you're a child of God, hold on to it. If God's for you, who can be against you? What can be against you? Nobody, nothing.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. So listen, everybody goes through discouragement. Everybody goes through difficulties. Everybody goes through hard times. And here we are, standing, rejoicing, recounting the faithfulness of God. Here we are saying God does come through. Here we are saying his promises are true. And look, that means the next time you go through that deep, dark tunnel of hopelessness, you remind yourself, I was in this tunnel before, and God's light shone in the midst of it. I was in this tunnel before, and somehow came out of it. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes this, and this is the Apostle Paul. Hey, if any of us could have a ministry that had the lasting impact of Paul, that would be infinitely beyond what we could dream or imagine, because he was an apostle who wrote part of the Bible. None of us are going to do that, right? And yet he was a human being. If we could have the faith he had, if we could have the intimacy with God he had, it'd be unbelievable. It'd be more than our greatest dreams. But listen to what he wrote. In fact, 2 Corinthians 7, when we came, into Macedonia, because he says, I'm overcome with joy, meaning for you, in all our afflictions. He said, in fact, when we came into Macedonia, we had no rest. Instead, we were troubled in every way. Conflicts on the outside, fears inside. This is the mighty Apostle Paul speaking. But God, who comforts the humble, comforted us by the arrival of Titus. And not only by his arrival, but also by the comfort he received from you. He told us about your deep longing, your sorrow, and your zeal for me, so that I rejoiced even more. So Paul's saying, I was struggling. I was in pain. I was hurting. And I didn't know how you were doing. I didn't know how you would receive my calls to repentance. I didn't know how you were doing in the midst of sorting out these key life issues and how you were going to come out. But God, who comforts the humble, comforted us by the arrival of Titus, and Titus came with a good report, and that brought comfort, and that brought encouragement, and that brought strength. Even Paul went through difficult periods of time. Even Paul's emotions could be jarred. And to the extent we focus on circumstances, they'll be jarred, they'll be up and down all the more. To the extent we find our comfort and strength in God, we'll be steady, we'll be strong. But I want to encourage you to journal about the faithfulness of God. When he answers a prayer, write it down. And these days, with so many things at our fingertips, from cell phones to tablets to computers, it's pretty easy to just keep track records of things. When he does something, write it down. Remind yourself of it, because you're going to either want to encourage someone else with it or encourage yourself with it. And when you find yourself in a place of discouragement, maybe you've had major setbacks. And in the midst of these setbacks, I mean, terrible disappointments, and it seemed like the bottom fell out on you and you're in a place of discouragement. This way you can remind yourself of past miracles, of past times when you were in that tunnel and it was all dark and your mind told you you will never get out of this tunnel. Remember being so sick and your mind is telling you you will never get out of this sick bed. Or the finances were so bad, you will be crushed financially for the rest of your life. Or the church split was so painful that you thought, that's it, I'll never do effective ministry again. Or the disappointment so big that you thought that I'd never be able to trust again. And those are all distant memories now because you're thriving in God, because you're healthy, because your finances are in order, because your ministry's strong, because your faith is strong. I mentioned this before, but I found one time a handwritten note that I had saved just on my tablet. And it said, God, if you don't come through now, it's all over. It was one of those extreme pressure times in the ministry. One of those extreme difficult pressure times where I tell you, I felt like that was it, the end. If God didn't come through and help the ministry work, our school and our missions organization and the ministry I was leading, if God didn't come through then and there, we would not be able to continue. It was it. We were at our limit. People weren't getting paid. They were working sacrificially. If God didn't come through then, I saw no way out of the situation. We'd have to stop what we were doing. And I remember I wrote out that prayer, God, if you don't come through now, it's all over. Only a few months later, I don't mean a few years, I don't mean a few decades, but only a few months later, I was looking at some notes I had taken and found that, and I thought, well, what was that? I couldn't even remember what the circumstances were. Do you hear me? I couldn't even remember. Because the thing, it just whatever happened, God came through, the crisis passed, and I didn't even remember what it was anymore. That's how it is with the sorrow, with the pain, with the disappointment, that the encouragement, the reality of God, the faithfulness of God can wipe it all away. So remind yourself of past miracles. Strengthen yourself in God. Get in a place of worship. Focus on the promises of the Word. Renew your mind with them. If you can get with another believer, it may have to be via social media or phone call if there's no one right in your physical proximity, but pray together. Sometimes just having one or two people join you in prayer and faith, suddenly the burden lifts, the spiritual atmosphere changes. And be determined to put your hope in God, not in man, and expose the lies of the enemy. The discouragement will pass. God's promises will endure. I hope these words have been helpful, edifying, encouraging to you. I just had it on my heart not to get into the news so much today, not to get into a theological controversy, but to bring words of encouragement, hope, and strength. All right, let me just take 1 minute to do this because I don't want to miss this opportunity to share this with you. A few years back during a summer, we took 6 weeks and offered for the first time our School of Cultural Engagement. These were classes taught by people like Joe Dallas on sexual purity or Joan Franco with the Alliance Defending Freedom on religious freedom and the Constitution or John Rankin on how all issues could be solved and the blueprint was in the book of Genesis. And I taught on It's Time to Rock the Boat, Frank Turek on cultural apologetics. Each of us taught, but in a practical, popular way for 6 or 7 hours. And then we have the audio CDs of all of these classes we put in one package on the School of Cultural Engagement. Well, the deal is that we have discounted them radically and dramatically. Instead of $30 or $40 or $50 for a class, we've cut the whole thing ridiculously low. Six sets of lectures, so over 40 hours of material, and it's like not even a dollar an hour. You save over $130. You get the whole pack of CDs and my book, Revolution, added in free. So to order, call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or go to the website, AskDrBrown.org. Order there. You can also get a digital download. My bottom line today, circumstances will come and go. The promises of God remain. Put your trust in the invisible, unchanging God. Spiritual discouragement. It happens to everyone. We'll give you some keys to overcoming it and look at some major world news today, right here.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I'm reminded of Psalm 2 as I think about what's happening around the world, as I think about the increasing rising violence and attacks in Israel and so much world condemnation of Israel. As I think about these issues, I'm reminded of Psalm 2. As I look in America and so many Americans making clear that they despise God's ways, they despise God's word, they mock any who differ with their worldview and mindset, which casts off God's truth. I'm reminded of Psalm 2, as I see in much of Europe being post-Christian, and then the radical Islamic world seeking to establish its own kingdom. I'm reminded of Psalm 2, and I want to read it to you. This is Michael Brown. Welcome to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. By the way, I put this out in the first hour and got a good call from Canada. I may bring another call on this hour. But if you've been following the elections in Canada, a radically liberal prime minister now elected, Justin Trudeau, with his radically liberal party. It's called the Liberal Party. You have to be totally pro-abortion to even be a member of the party. He is strongly for same-sex, quote, marriage, which, of course, is the law of the land in Canada. And he wants to legalize marijuana as soon as possible following the Colorado model. Think of that. If you are listening from Canada or follow Canadian politics closely and would like to weigh in with your perspective, I'd love to hear from you at 866-34-TRUTH. Also, I should ask this in the first hour, but I didn't. If you live in Colorado, what's your take on how the legalization of marijuana is doing there? If you live in another state where it's been legalized, what's your take? What are the effects on your state? Give me a call, 866-34-TRUTH. But having said all that, part of the craziness of the world, it brings me back to Psalm 2. Why do the nations rebel and the peoples plot in vain? Hang on. I want to read from a different translation there. Yeah, I wouldn't translate that rebel. All right, let's read from, tell you what, I'll read from the English Standard Version. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them in his wrath and terrify them in his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will tell of the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will make the nations your heritage and the ends of the earth your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron and dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, O kings, be wise. Be warned, O rulers of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. So ultimately, God rules and reigns. Ultimately, he sets up his king in Jerusalem, not just the ancient Davidic king, but the Messiah who will rule and reign over this earth. And so while we grieve about abortion, while we grieve about destruction of the family, while we grieve about the many horrible things taking place in the world, all the wars, all the atrocities that people are committing against one another, and the sickness and pain in this world, and the rebellion in the human heart, while we grieve over that, we rejoice because God is King. He rules and reigns, and that's where I want to put my focus, not on the shifting circumstances of what's happening in this world, but on the Lord. We come back, I'm going to get some weekly updates from Reverend James Robison. And we'll talk to you a little later in the show about discouragement.
It's fire we want, for fire we please. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire. 866-34-TRUTH is the number to call. Again, if you're a listener in Canada or in touch with Canadian politics and want to give us your perspective on this very strongly leftist liberal vote for Prime Minister Trudeau, incoming Prime Minister, give us a call. If you live in Colorado or another state where marijuana has been legalized and you've got a perspective on that, I'd love to hear from you. 866-34-TRUTH. So again, I mentioned this in the first hour. Let me repeat it now. I tweeted this out yesterday, and I said this. If you're a believer going through discouragement, remember this. The discouragement is temporary and will pass. God's promises are eternal. And I got a lot of responses of people retweeting and putting favorite on it. It seemed to hit a chord. When I shared last night with our missionaries and others that are in town for our annual missions conference, and I just shared about the cycle of discouragement that everyone goes through. You believe you have promises from God, and it looks like everything's on target, and then it starts to break down, and it doesn't happen, and did I really hear God, or is it too late, or did I miss my window? And just sharing those experiences, others came up and said, Ben, I really needed to hear that. That really speaks to me. So that reminds me that these are things that we all do go through, that discouragement is something everyone goes through, that it seems the promises don't happen, that things don't come to pass at the right time. There are ways to stay encouraged. We talked about it some in the first hour. We'll do it a little bit later in the second. But just know you are not alone in going through the challenges, the difficulties, or when circumstances around you seem to overwhelm. God remains faithful. Circumstances change. God does not change. I'm looking online now on the stream, stream.org. I want to know what's happening in Canada. I went to the stream, just typed in Trudeau, and here's an important article by Rob Gillies, published today. Liberal Justin Trudeau becomes Canada's new prime minister. Liberals swept the election, ending 10 years of conservative leadership under Stephen Harper. So to give you a perspective on what happened, a full report here, just go to the stream, stream.org. It's listed in international news. I just went there and typed in the name Trudeau, found an important article link there. So with that, speaking of the stream, I bring on the founder of the stream and of Life International, Reverend James Robinson. James, great to have you on the broadcast again.
Yeah, thank you, Michael. Good to talk to you.
Now, you were at a major event this past week at Prestonwood Baptist Church that involved some of the key Republican candidates. So I'd love to hear more about the event and your take on what happened, sir.
Well, I thought it was brilliantly presented for all the right reasons. Pastor Jack Graham, I must say, interviewed candidates as wisely and effectively as I have ever heard. As a matter of fact, I found myself saying, I wish every American could just listen to each one of these candidates, answer reasonable questions that people are asking. And it was just great. And each candidate presented their relationship with God in a personal, meaningful way. And it didn't sound like something that was just a candidate's talking points, but very sincere. And the response was overwhelmingly positive, especially as it relates to the things that we're legitimately concerned about.
Now which were the candidates that were there?
All right, we had Carly Fiorina, and she is as great an extemporaneous public speaker as I have ever heard in my life. She was just forceful, very, very effective. She is the only one of her candidates, including others who were not there, that I have not had the opportunity of meeting with personally, talking with, and praying with. But she started out, and we had Ted Cruz and Rick Santorum and Dr. Ben Carson and Mike Huckabee and Governor Jeb Bush.
Now was Donald Trump invited and declined, or was he not invited?
No, he was invited, and Rubio was, and said that he had already planned to spend that day with his family in church, and that was what his commitment was going to be. And of course, nobody pushed back on that. But it was really a great day, Michael. You would have enjoyed it.
Yeah, excellent. I had the pleasure of spending time with Pastor Jack Graham in China together a couple of years ago. I'm thrilled he had that opportunity to lead the way in that. All right, so your impression, you've been around, you're not easily moved by political talk. You can see through things that seem superficial. Those that were there, did they seem genuine to you in what they shared about their own faith and their own values?
Yes, so genuine that I could say that the nation would be blessed if each one of those individuals who spoke Sunday had a leadership role in America. Whether it was an agency oversight, whether it was a cabinet position, they really do deserve it, and they would serve us well. And so I just think that when you can say that about individuals, that you have enough confidence in them to realize they could at least take some part of leadership and really benefit the American people and our dreams and our hopes and continue to secure freedom under the wise guidance of our Constitution. I just think they were the highest quality, let's say, group of candidates that I've seen in all the years that I've been here, and that's 72 years, and I've been listening well for 50 years and been very, very active for nearly 40 years in trying to determine what a person believes and where they will head.
Yeah, well, that's very encouraging to hear, very encouraging, especially when we see what happened in Canada with the election now of the overwhelmingly liberal party and Prime Minister Trudeau, and he's on record radically pro-abortion, radically redefined marriage in Canada, wants to legalize marijuana across the country following the Colorado model. We've seen the influence of a radically liberal president like Barack Obama in these recent years. Of course, we continue to pray for him. So we know that a godly leader could really make a difference. Was there anything about each candidate or strength of each one? You mentioned Carly Fiorina, a contemporaneous speaker. Anything that seemed like a strong point for any of the other candidates that caught your eye?
Well, all of them had such strong convictions regarding religious liberty and also right to life and marriage and family. And I want to just say this. Let me go on record and say this right here with you in a real line of fire. We need to drive a stake in the ground as believers. And we need to say there's a line we will not cross, period. End of that discussion. And I think that if people who claim to believe in a creator God who is Father and believe in the shepherd oversight of the great gift of God through his Son who provided life. If we believe that there is a reliable standard, that there are basic foundation stones upon which a reliable structure, relationship, or future must be built, we have to drive a stake in the ground, and we have to draw that line that we will not cross, and it must be valuing all life, protecting all life, from conception to the grave. We understand that when a woman is pregnant, you've got two lives to take care of. One of them is the mother. But we've got to drive a stake in the ground on life. We've got to drive a stake in the ground on marriage. We have to drive a stake in the ground on never accepting another form of Pharaoh or a Babylonian empire, period. Period. We are not going to trust man as our source. So we have to have a limited, under control of the people in the nation who are themselves under control, self-control, principally, let's say, founded, grounded, and standing, unshakable, immovable. And these are literally the walls that must be restored against which the gates of hell will not prevail. And if Christians can't stand that, when you listen to the sheer nonsense coming from some political candidates concerning income equality, and making people the same, even though God didn't make two fingerprints the same. If we don't stand united on these issues, I can just tell you, America's future is bleak. It is dim. And we are headed for national destruction and the destruction of freedom.
Yeah, well said, with, in my view, divine authority behind your words. Let's flesh that out. If you can just stay with me a couple more minutes, what does that actually mean? with these upcoming elections next year to draw that line? I agree with you wholeheartedly. I agree wholeheartedly. What does that actually look like? What does it mean? Does it mean voting party-wise, Democrat, Republican? Is it just individual? Does it mean sitting out elections? Does it mean getting involved? What does it mean on a practical level? These are not minor issues. Oh, the elections, I get involved or not. These are life and death issues with massive consequences for coming generations. Yes, our hope is in the Lord, and it's up to the church to be the salt and light, but you better believe these are critical issues. What does it mean to draw this line in the sand? We'll hear more from Reverend James Robison. Folks, visit the stream, stream.org, for the latest news from a Christian perspective as well.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
If you visit the stream right now, stream.org, you'll see a headline story I'm looking at. Arab nations ask UN to designate Western Wall as Muslim territory. That's right. You'll find my latest article. Just posted today. Why not three? The question gay activists cannot answer. You'll find a story by Heather Wilhelm. This got my attention. Bernie Sanders and the electric Kool-Aid socialist test. And then Dennis Prager, the left really hates Ben Carson. So you've got news, you've got opinion, you've got inspiration. It's all there, thestream.org. James, you spoke very forcefully. I know you spoke out of a real burden. To draw that line in the sand, what does that mean on a practical level for Christians who will go to vote next fall?
Let me just say, my inspiration article on the stream is God Bless America. And we talk about what it looks like to get in position to receive those blessings. And one of the things I will just say to the audience right now, we need to start asking and praying, may America once again bless God. We need to do that. And we were talking about what we must do.
Yep.
When we draw this line in the sand, it not only has to be these basic biblical moral issues I mentioned, but it has to be a limited government. I reference that in passing, which is the way many people I tend to overlook it, and that is a government under control. It is limited. It is protecting us, but it's not infringing upon the safety that it is actually established to provide. We have to be very, very careful that we don't become dependent upon it, because then we are owned by it and manipulated by it. And these different extremes will keep people so dependent that they never have the ability to rise above their own circumstances, whereas many of the greatest people in a free country come out of very difficult, challenged circumstances to become great, successful entrepreneurs, leaders, teachers, coaches, inspirational factors in a community and in a nation. So we've got to know that we simply cannot hand off the keys to the future to people who deny authority. And I'm telling you what Robbie just said on that little piece. This didn't just happen. I've got a watch on my hand. It didn't just suddenly plop together. We've got intelligent design, and the evidence of it is irrefutable. So we who believe in God and believe he gave us a reliable standard, we'd better come from out of the pews and out of our closets praying a lot, but let's become an answer to prayers. Not only the prayers that we are praying and others are praying, but the prayer that Jesus prayed. That we would, in fact, be one with our Father, sanctified and purified by the transforming power of his word and his truth, and then standing supernaturally united together as a family, committed to the Father, and as sheep, not going to the slaughter, but led by the perfect shepherd who, in difficult circumstances, can lead us to still waters in green pastures and restore everything that the locusts have devoured, prepare a table before us in the presence of all of our accusers, and be the shelter and the shadow in which we find the rest and the peace that we long for. In a nation where we have the right, the privilege, and the responsibility to vote, we determine our future by choosing the leaders who lead according to principle or who deny that principle, trample it underfoot, and in fact begin to allow our people to be trampled under feet. And the feet of men, like the salt that has no effect. We have got to stand up together. I honestly believe this election, I've been here 72 years. It is the most important in my lifetime. I think it is the most important election. 1980 was critically important to freedom. I believe this one is every bit as important as the one that brought in Lincoln. And frankly, I think we go all the way back to George Washington to find someone qualified to lead us and lead this nation away from the perilous course that we're presently on.
Yeah, and so you're not on record for every election saying this is the most important, this is the biggest. You feel this with real weight, which I can hear in your words. There's an article on the stream I'm looking at. Republicans hope to find missing evangelical voters. So if, in fact, evangelicals felt that there was a candidate they could really get behind, they were mixed about Mitt Romney, they were mixed about John McCain, if they felt there was a candidate they could really get behind, that could be the tipping point in the election, correct?
Absolutely. And by the way, I failed to mention Rick Santorum. Senator Santorum was there, too, and he made a profound statement. He said, I'm an evangelical Catholic. I am a Catholic that believes we have been here by divine design, and we've been left here to be a light and a witness. And I'm saying that, and I'm frankly saying to every Catholic, if you know the Father and you know Christ as the shepherd, not one that's just simply in the beautiful stained glass picture of him knocking on the door, but the one that came into your life personally, and you've had an encounter with Christ, you know Christ, then it is up to you to help swing the pendulum back to center and get the compass set back to true north. It is absolutely critical that those who profess to know God and believe Jesus is the way to the Father and that he is the truth and he is the life, if you believe that, now is the time to stand, because I promise you this, if we do not stand, the things precious to the people listening to me right now and precious to the people you love is about to be trampled under the foot of men that cast aside the word of God in the name of license and call that freedom. And it is absolutely to be rejected by every person who believes there's a sound foundation, a solid rock upon which we must build our lives and our future. It is time for God's people to stop just talking about God and talking about faith and begin to demonstrate the power of that faith and the relationship they have with a living and mighty God.
Yeah, well, amen to those words. I feel the seriousness of the hour. I live with it 24/7. And like you, live with it, an unmoving, unshaking, or unshakable confidence in God that he is greater and bigger than all this. And that rather than us kind of moping and licking our wounds and feeling sorry for ourselves, we need to put our faith in God and rise up as overcomers. We've just got a minute. In your view, if one of these candidates was elected, we've got all the Supreme Court, congressional system, all that. Do you think that a godly candidate, a godly president, could really make a difference in America?
No question. Several of them mentioned the bully pulpit as being one of the most profound uses that the president has as a leader. He needs to influence the way people think. This present leader is influencing the way people think to the demise and detriment of this country. Now, he just is. And that has nothing to do with his race. I am thrilled that you have another African-American candidate that's popular who has convictions that are in line with biblical truth and with those values that made us great. I rejoice that we have the day that a person from a minority race or an African-American could rise to the highest office in the land. Praise God for our country reaching that point. But that does not excuse a person on the basis of their race for beliefs that are detrimental or practices and policies that do damage not only to the American dream, but to everyone's dream. And I'm going to say this. We're concerned about people who don't have jobs. And I may have said this on a previous program. You better start getting concerned about those who do have a job, because the effect of that job is about to be diminished, and the fact that you even have a job in the future is questionable. So unless we correct our nation's perilous course, I'm telling you, we are in a deep ditch that only God in divine providence can lift us out of. And people had better recognize that and listen to the clear sound of the trumpet. Awaken out of your sleep right now, and let's have a great awakening in this country.
Yeah. The trumpet is sounding, friends. I hope, I pray you have ears to hear. Thank you, sir, for coming on as a trumpet today.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Hey, listen, when you hear someone talk enough, let's say you listen to me on a regular basis, and you hear me, and one day I'm particularly convicted and gripped and sounding an alarm or sharing something that I feel urgently, you take it with a certain seriousness because, you know, okay, you don't hear that a lot. You know, you don't have a history of hyping it up every day, every week, and all right, I'm going to take that more seriously. Or we're a parent. You're growing up, and you know your mom and dad well, and one of your parents tells you really sternly something they're concerned about, or they really want you to hear a particular thing, and you realize, wow, they don't normally talk that way. I need to take heed to it. Well, I've had James Robison on a number of times now, every Tuesday at this time, most every week for some weeks now. I've had him on or someone else, an editor from the stream, to talk about the news, to talk about current events, to come from a believing perspective, and to encourage you to visit the stream where I post my articles regularly as well. But I've not heard him speak with this level of urgency. I've not heard him sound the trumpet blast as loudly on the broadcast. He's always very serious about the things that we address. But you pray and say, okay, God, how does this apply to me? What am I to hear in terms of a warning, in terms of the sounding of an alarm? 866-34-TRUTH. I've got a bunch of audio clips, things relating to Israel. I may save most of it for the Thursday broadcast on Thoroughly Jewish Thursday as we focus on these things. But just on a newsworthy item, I wrote an article, posted it today, wrote it last night, posted today, why not three? The question gay activists cannot answer. Now, I posted an article in July, why two? The question gay activists cannot answer, namely, why does marriage require two people if it is not the union of a man and a woman? Obviously, you have a man and a woman. They alone can reproduce and they alone can join the children of that next generation to the mother and the father. Only a man and woman can do that. But if it's not a man and a woman, why does it require two people? Why couldn't you theoretically marry yourself? Well, companionship, well, you could have three, you could have five. You could have any number, any combination. We demonstrated in a video that's gotten a lot of good attention that when Stephen Colbert on his late night talk show, when he did his wedding cake toppers little satire, and he was mocking the idea that redefining marriage would now lead to all kinds of other arrangements, he actually proved the point in what he did. So we put out a video interspersing his video and explaining how he proved the very point that he was mocking. Well, I wrote the article, Why Not Two? The Question Gay Activists Cannot Answer. And a writer with the Huffington Post, the very liberal Huffington Post, wrote a response saying, well, here's why. Because all the arrangements are made for two people, and it's just legal complication to make it for more than that. It's like, what a weak argument. All the arrangements were not just made for two people, but for a man and a woman. You got to make all kinds of changes and introduce new language and so on and so forth. And what if gay activists wanted there to be multiple partners, you think that would be an obstacle that would stand in the way? So there are two gay guys in Canada. They got, quote, married in 2011, but they wanted to spice up their relationship a little bit. Like all heterosexual couples, you get married, you go to the bar to pick up more partners, right? Wrong. But that's what they did. They met a third guy the next year, and they really liked him and decided, well, let's get permanent with the three of them. And so what they've done now is the two men, quote, got divorced, and now they're taking vows, basically the three of them all together, so they'll be equal. But they said, look, it's not yet legal in Canada, but that's what they want. Why shouldn't it be legal? If love is love, marriage equality for all, why shouldn't it be legal? Why not? Three men or three women or four. Why not? Love is love. Love wins, right? Oh, and they want to have kids using their sisters. I'm not kidding.
Send it, Lord.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I'm going to address a little bit more the issue of discouragement and overcoming it. But first, I want to go to the phones in Richmond, Virginia. Kenny, welcome to The Line of Fire.
How you doing, Dr. Brown?
Very well. Thank you, sir.
Good, good. I've been listening to you quite a bit. I'm trying to figure out, are you trying to say that Jesus would be a Republican? Basically, that's what I get.
Yeah, okay. And on what basis do you get that?
Just always talking about the Republican candidates and the Republicans and the Democrats and the way...
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's a fair question. First, I don't believe that Jesus would have a party affiliation. I don't believe he can be classified in a party. And I myself am an independent. But that being said, thus far in the elections, there's been a ton more to talk about with the Republican candidates. This has started earlier. So these subjects have been before us. I've obviously spoken many times about President Obama over the years. But under no circumstances do I believe, let's say Jesus was voting, all right, that he lived in America and he was voting. Under no circumstances do I believe he would vote for a candidate who supported abortion, who supported redefining marriage, among other issues. Just like if we go back 160 years, I don't believe that Jesus would have voted for any candidate who was pro-slavery. So to me, the abortion issue, the homosexual issues are just on the same level as the slavery issues. So let's say that the Democrats were pro-slavery and the Republicans were against slavery, and I would be advocating not voting for a Democrat and voting for a Republican to the extent that they could bring about change. So as far as looking at candidates, there's no Democratic candidate that you could pay me to vote for. There's no possible way I would vote for any of the Democratic candidates right now. There are a number of the Republican candidates that I would vote for. My concern would be that you have the Republican establishment standing in the way that has to be overcome, and who'd be able to overcome that. That's why I like some of the guys who are non-traditional, like Ted Cruz, who's challenged the establishment, or Ben Carson, who's an outsider. That gives me more hope. But yeah, that's right. So right now, I went online, I don't know, a year ago or something, and there was a website that said, answer these questions as to what your values are. So I went through the website and I answered all the questions. You know, I'm pro-life, I'm pro-marriage and family, I'm pro-Israel. I went through all of them, right? And it said, okay, the Republican platform is 100% your platform, and the Democratic platform was 0%. So, I mean, that's how it came up in that regard. But what's your perspective on this in terms of, so in other words, I'm looking for candidates that hold to certain issues. I could care less if they're Democrat, Republican, and identification. That's meaningless to me. I want to see the values they stand for. I want to see the party platform. And then based on that, if I believe they'll carry through these things, I'll vote for them. So that's what I'm basing things on. And at this point, the only potential candidates I could vote for as president are Republican. So that explains why you may have the perspective you have. But what's your take on what I said, sir?
Well, I understand. I guess my biggest problem is I don't want people to be thinking that, you know, you got to vote Republican or you got to pick someone or vote for someone just because they know Scripture. Anybody can blurt out Scripture. The devil knows Scripture. So just because someone, I mean, a lot of stuff's been going on when Republicans and Democrats has been in office.
Mm-hmm.
And they always say certain things, but when they're in there, they never do it.
Yeah, it's a problem.
And they can be the biggest Republican. I think abortion was going on when Republicans was in office.
Yeah, it has been. There were more positive developments that Republicans pushed for. There were bills that Reagan signed that then got undone subsequently by Democrats that followed. So those things do happen. Ultimately, the church has to be grassroots and make the difference, Kenny. Ultimately, the political process can only go so far. But this much I know. If I'm aware, because so politics has its place. But let's just think what James Robinson said a moment ago, the bully pulpit, right? President Obama, one of the most influential human beings in the entire world and the most powerful leader in the entire world, when he comes out and says his views have evolved on marriage and this is where he now stands and he's got no problem with two men or two women, quote, marrying, and he's aggressively pushed that. And then his Attorney General, Eric Holder, tells the attorney generals across the country and says, hey, if you don't agree with these laws, because there are laws against redefining marriage in these states, if you don't agree with them, don't enforce them, even though they are appointed to enforce the laws. And he said, I wouldn't myself. That's tremendous influence these individuals have, for good or for bad. So I like you, am very skeptical of the political system and the ability of a party or an individual to bring about change, because you have just so much of the baggage and so much of the junk. On the other hand, let's say with Reagan, he really did face down the Soviet Union and helped bring down the Berlin Wall and things like that. He really was used in very, very positive ways. If you look at, say, Bill Clinton's promiscuity, as a negative. If you look at that, young people today think that certain acts of sex are not really sex. And a lot of that comes from the culture then. If you believe that we shouldn't be in Afghanistan or Iraq, that was under George Bush that happened. If you believe that was the wrong move. So presidents can do a lot that's good or that's bad. I was disappointed with certain presidents. You know, we vote them in as evangelicals and they get in and do almost nothing. I had a representative from Ted Cruz's office on yesterday. He was passing through town. I said, swing by the radio, we'll have you on. And that's a question I asked him. I said, you always promise us the world. And then when elected, whatever happens. And you know, that's why what I like about it, Ted Cruz, is he's taken on the system now. He's hated by a lot of the Republican Party. That's positive to me because he's taking it on. Like I said, Ben Carson, an outsider. I like that, because he doesn't have all the old roots. He's not a career politician. But I could not possibly vote for a candidate that I knew stood for the slaughter of the unborn in the womb and that stood for redefining marriage. I'd rather not vote than vote for a candidate like that. So that I hold to very, very deeply as well. But I appreciate the conversation very much. It's one that we need to continue to have.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. God bless you. 866-34-TRUTH. I'm very glad to have that conversation, and I'm very glad that Kenny called in. And I do want to challenge you. I do want to challenge you. If you call yourself a follower of Jesus, if you could vote for a candidate, I don't care how gifted they were with economy, how good you felt about other aspects of their candidacy, if they stood for pro-abortion policies, if they would be for funding Planned Parenthood, if they were not clearly pro-life, if they had a voting record that was pro-abortion. Let's remember that President Obama was a radical pro-abortion senator before being elected as president. And those of you who ever dreamed for a split second that my problems with our president were based on race, aside from that being a shameful, wrong, bizarre thing with no reality to it, why would I be so positive on Ben Carson? Why would I like him so much if there were race issues? God forbid that would influence any of my thinking. If there was a Jewish candidate running for president, that would mean nothing to me. In terms of, well, I want to see a Jew. That would mean zero to me. All I'd want to know is, where do you stand on key issues, sir or ma'am? Where do you stand on key issues? In any case, point I'm making is, I don't care how gifted anybody is in other areas that would be good for our country, if they do not value the life of the baby in the womb, the most innocent of our citizens in our country, if they are not pro-life, and if they do not stand for marriage as God intended it, I could not vote for them. If each candidate was pro-abortion and pro-homosexual, quote, marriage, then I couldn't vote for either. I'd put in a protest vote or sit it out. But I could not say, I am putting my name and my endorsement on that person who stands for the slaughter of the unborn and who stands against God's intention for marriage. And I feel it very strongly. 866-34-TRUTH.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. One quick word about discouragement. If you look at the news, and that is your primary, what do I want to call it? The primary information you're taking in every day is the news. You could easily get discouraged, want to pull your hair out, or get depressed, or get hopeless. Let the primary information that you get be the Word of God. I don't mean that if you watch the news for an hour, you must read the Bible at least an hour, but I mean what influences your mind, what influences your thinking, what influences your emotions, what influences your worldview, what influences your attitude. Let it be the Word. Let it be the truth of the Word. As you do that, as it infuses your heart and your mind, then you'll be able to look at the things around you with the right perspective. The rock in my life is not the state of America. The rock in my life is not my personal finances. The rock in my life is not what's happening in the world. The rock in my life is God and His truth. With God and His truth as the rock and the foundation, that means no matter what happens in the world around us, we can still live the same consistent godly lives. So I encourage you, renew your mind with the Word. Now, there's sometimes strongholds that are deep that have to be broken, and we need people to pray with us and help us. There are times when it seems we fall into an emotional or spiritual pit and we don't know our way out. Be assured that God has not forsaken you, no matter what the lies are telling you. God sees where you are right there and is with you in the midst of it and will help you as you cry out. And if you need helpers to come and help you out, He'll send them. But if your situation is not that severe, often the problem is simple, that we're focusing on the wrong things. Renew your mind with the Word. Renew your mind with the promises of God. Renew your mind with testimonies of what He's done. Your perspective will change. There is a reason. There is a reason that I do not walk around discouraged all the time. Listen, I'm under constant pressure. I'm under day and night spiritual attack. I'm under day and night attack, verbal attack, and things like that. I'm under day and night pressure. I go from deadline to deadline to commitment to commitment, and we are under heavy financial pressure just doing the ministry work that we're doing and the larger load that God's called us to carry. We're under constant pressure, and yet I'm almost never discouraged, or for any length of time, almost never discouraged. Why? Because God is the one at work in me, because God is the ultimate source of my reality. Because I'm not looking to a perfect America, but to a perfect God. And that's why there is hope overflowing within me all the time. 866-34-TRUTH. We'll go to Kevin somewhere in North Carolina. Welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you. I just want to say that I guess more of a statement than a question. I think everybody else is already aware that money runs our political machine. So to argue platforms and laws and parties, I can't help but I guess maybe this is a little too skewed for most people to tolerate, but in a capitalistic culture, we all know that laws are written on a daily basis, and they're highly influenced by the person with the biggest check.
Well, here's where I differ. I recognize that there's a lot of reason for skepticism. I realize that a lot of this is simply a matter of who's got more money, who's got more clout, and things like that. However, I do believe there are people of principle. I do believe there are people who are standing for what's right and what they believe. So, for example, I talked about Ben Carson a moment ago. He's made statements that are politically incorrect, but he believes they're true, and he stayed with them. You've got here Donald Trump. I'm not a fan of many things in Trump's character and politics, but he's self-made in that respect, and he's obviously not bowing down to either party. Ted Cruz calls it the Washington cartel, and he's calling it out from the halls of the Senate. So you've got some candidates, and I'm not listing each one because there are probably some others as well who are anti-establishment. But I'm not so skeptical. My hope is in God, not man. But I do think if you have a candidate who is sufficiently anti-establishment and stands for the values we have, that them getting into office could bring a shaking. We've had it. We've had it before. We've had candidates get elected, be it a Tea Party influence or be it a wave of conservatives years back. But then once they get in, either they compromise or they get swallowed up in the system. So I'm very much aware of the issue you raise, very much, and I'm not downplaying it. But I believe that it can be bucked, it can be changed if people stand up to it. And then if people vote for them, people stand up to it. So a candidate stands up to the system or the way it's set up and the financial system, and people vote that person in, then that sounds the alarm. That's how you undo the system. But they're going to have to stand. They're going to have to stand. And it could be at a critical moment, Kevin, that they have to make that choice. Am I going to do what's right and risk voting and risk backing, risk voters and risk financial backing, and trust that I'm going to do what's right and God's going to back me or else it's over? Or are they going to make that big compromise? That's going to be the question. Thank you, sir, for calling in. Hey, Tracy, I don't have time to bring you on the air in Plano, Texas, but to answer your question, do Christians have to vote? I don't think have to is the right way to look at it. Rather, it is a sacred responsibility we have in America. The nature of our republic, the way it was established, and with the wisdom of the founders, and to whatever degree God was behind this, it requires Christians to vote. It's a responsibility that we have, and many lives are at stake. How we vote determines national policy, wars to happen or not happen. How we vote determines what can happen to the unborn. How we vote determines what can happen in lots of other legislation. So it's important that we vote. It's important that we take the opportunity that we have to pick our elected officials, which most human beings throughout world history have not had and did not exist in biblical days. It's a sacred privilege that we have, and therefore we should take it, get educated enough to know where you stand on key issues and then where the candidates stand, and vote your conscience after that. Don't vote based on, well, we're the same ethnicity or we're the same skin color, or we're the same geography or we're the same party. Vote based on conscience issues and issues for the good of America. Let it transcend all the other barriers. Hey, thank you for calling. All right, friends, check this out. Go to the website, askdrbrown.org, and check out this very important special resource offer at a ridiculously low price. Don't miss it. My bottom line today, politics is not everything, but politics is something. May we be involved in a godly way.